Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles. Chapter 2, Vampires Underground. Where else? While I chewed on what George meant by us, he reached out and touched a red spot on Meg's neck. She flinched away. He said, "Got a little bit of breakfast there." Meg backed toward the door. I was a little freaked by George, too. She said, "I don't know. I think..." George put his palms out in appeal. "Hey, wait up. I'm one, too. You're new, and I'm sure you're scared, but you just got lucky." She shook her head. "Dead people don't have luck." George ambled out from behind the counter. Meg retreated a couple of steps. He stopped and smiled at her. He didn't have fangs, either. "Hey, it's undead. There's no death certificate for you, right?" She nodded. "No funeral, no mourning. You can call up people you know and they'd think you were the same as ever, right?" He had a point. She wasn't exactly a corpse. Neither was I, for that matter. "If you'd been able to keep your job, you'd still be paying taxes, right?" She said, "You mean even though I'm not alive, I have a life?" He snorted a laugh. "You could put it that way. We still need a place to sleep during the day, and that takes money. So we gotta work." George waved at the store. "Trouble is, a lot of night jobs are pretty crummy." Meg sagged at the knees, and I have to admit, mine were rubbery too. Well, they're not precisely knees, but you know what I mean. George took her arm, led her around the counter, and sat her on a stool. Then he pulled a cell phone from his pants pocket and hit a button. "Hey, Sammy. George here. Got a newbie. The usual, looking for a night job." He paused, then gave Meg a glance. "By the look of her, the local cemetery." Her gaze dropped to the floor. I suspected she would have blushed if she hadn't been dead. He listened, then said, "Work for a ad agency." Meg perked up a little. "That's an ad agency. I'm a writer, Ed Dewey, Fakeham and Howe." "Writer." More listening. He grinned. "Yeah?" He looked at Meg. "Sammy'll be over in a minute. He's with the AVA. He pocketed the phone. The place was crawling with vampires. Shouldn't be a problem, though. They wouldn't suck on one of their own. George glanced my way and then a double take. "Hey!" He reached under the counter, came up with a baseball bat, and charged. I spun to run, but my paws slipped on the floor. Leave it to me to be chased by a vampire in the one convenience store in the universe with a freshly waxed floor. Running in place, I glanced back, and there was George coming down on me, bat raised high. "Stop!" Meg came running. George pulled up. "It's a cat. In my store." I stopped, happy to sit down again. Meg grabbed the end of the bat. "It's my cat." George bent low and sniffed me. "I'll be darned." He straightened. She let go of the bat, and he lowered it. "So what's its name? Breakfast?" "Funny guy." She looked embarrassed for a moment, and then said, "I've never given him a name, but maybe I will, just so I can introduce you." What a waste of breath. Cats don't do names. Wouldn't be much use, seeing as how we don't talk. As far as I'm concerned, I'm me. Meg looked me over. I wondered if she knew she was looking at a rare creature. Not that calico cats are rare. You can see my mixture of orange, black, and white all over town. But we guys are. For every one of me, there are about 3,000 calico pussycats. That wasn't a bad thing. And the fact that we guys are sterile was something the neighborhood pussies appreciated. It was a dead-end genetic profile, which was now extremely ironic. But she just had to give me a moniker. "Let's see. Patches of colors. How about Patchy?" "Ew." I stuck my tongue out. Maybe Meg was sharper than the average vampire because she said, "Nah, too cutesy for a big guy like you." I sat up a little straighter. and I might have pushed my chest out a little. Meg said, how about Patch? Not bad. At least it had something to do with me. I decided to let her know my opinion, so I walked to her and rubbed my side against her leg. Just once, though. I'm not a gushy cat. Then I looked up at her and did the eye contact thing. She grinned. Patch it is. George said, it don't matter he's got a name, still no animals allowed in the store, and I can't lose this job. A car pulled up outside. George said, it's Sammy. Come on. He went out the front door, and Meg scooped me up. I was too weak to protest, and besides, I kinda liked her. What the heck? She'd put a stop to me being bashed with a baseball bat. She knew how to hold a cat, too, with an arm under my hindquarters so I could sit. None of that one end or the other left hanging. That close to her, I noticed the same undertone of copper I'd found when I was tracking her. Was that what George had gotten from me that made him figure I'd been Meg's latest meal? The smell of blood? The scent of vampires? Outside, a scrawny, sunken-chested little guy with squinty eyes stood by a banged-up, old-style Volkswagen Bug. He sported a handlebar mustache that covered his mouth. His eyes widened when he saw Meg. He smiled. I couldn't tell if his mustache was covering up fangs. And a bass voice that seemed impossible for such a pipsqueak said,
welcome to the ABA.
His gaze dropped to me.
Now that's curious. Cats usually hate to be around us.
He had that right. The whole scene was definitely creepy. But what choice did I have? And Meg was pretty cool. George chuckled. Yeah, but this cat is us. Meg stepped forward and stuck out a hand to shake, still cradling me quite comfortably in her other arm. My name is Meg, and this is Patch. Bright headlights swung across us, and then an old hearse, long and black with fishtail fins on the rear fenders, pulled up next to the Bug. Sammy said,
crap, it's Lester.
Lester climbed out of the hearse. Unfolded, actually. He had to be 7 feet tall. Black was his thing, with one exception. When he rounded the front of the hearse, his black cape flared and revealed a crimson lining. He smiled. Big fangs. Sharp ones touching his bottom lip. He glommed onto Meg right away.
My dear, let me welcome you to the underworld. My name is Lestat.
Sammy said to Meg.
Lester isn't Anne Rice these days.
Lester Lestat glared down at Sammy.
You're such an insect. You and the rest of your breather wannabes.
He spread his arms wide, managing to make his cape flare and show off the red lining, and smile down at Meg and me. Actually, I don't think he'd noticed me.
I live the legend of the vampire, free, a law unto myself.
He raised a fist into the air.
I am Lestat, the beast that feasts in the night's darkest deeps.
Where did this guy get his dialogue? Maybe he spent his days at bad movies. Sammy said,
so, Meg, George told me you're looking for work.
Lester stepped between Sammy and Meg and me. Work? Why? If you need to feed, he waved a really long arm at the night, your dining pleasure awaits you, ready for the taking. Stepping to the side so he was visible again, Sammy said,
yeah, if you don't get caught. There are police out there, and some breeders don't like being chewed on. You can get hurt.
Hurt? How do you hurt dead people? Lester puffed up.
Ha! Maybe you mice fear breathers, but not those true to the dark path.
So now he was Darth Lester? Meg said, I don't think it's right to attack innocent people. That's what happened to me. She put a hand to her neck, and her voice got harder. Thanks to that bitch, I have no job and no life, and I'm sleeping in the dirt, for God's sake. Lester struck a pose, chest out, hands on his hips, legs spread. I half expected him to break into yo-ho-ho 15 men on a dead man's chest.
You're mistaken, little woman.
I felt Meg stiffen at that, Lester said. She set you free, just as a munificent monster once did me. And you don't have to sleep in the dirt, he pointed at his hearse.
I have all I need here. When the sun comes, I just park, draw the curtains, relax in my coffin, and doze. I have a little TV, too. He gripped Meg's arm and pulled her to him, squishing me between them, his belt buckle poking me in the eye. Come with me, Megan. I know where to get a coffin just your size. There's plenty of room in my ride, and together we can enjoy the life eternal. Sammy laughed.
The life of a petty criminal, you mean? With no job and no money, how do you think he feeds that gas hog of his?
Meg pushed at Lester's chest with her free arm and got a little space between us. It was a relief to get that belt buckle out of my eye. It was still inches away, and I could see that it was shaped like a bat. Not just any bat, but a Batman bat. I looked up, and I didn't like Lester's smirk. With the fangs and all, he looked a little on the evil side to me. Lester said, I have money, all I need. My dinners gladly donate their worldly goods. He leered. Well, perhaps not gladly. He yanked on Meg's arm to pull her back to him and crunched me again. That pissed me off, and I whipped up my claws and sank them into the back of his hand. He jerked it away, and I felt my claws tug as they ripped through his skin. What a nice feeling. Lester jumped back a couple of feet. Foul beast! He held his hand out so the light from the neon sign showed the damage. Four nicely done furrows crossed the top of his hand. In the greenish light, they looked black against his pale skin, and they didn't bleed. George said, Uh-oh. Lester stabbed out with one of those four-foot arms, wrapped his fingers around my middle, and tore me away from Meg. He lifted me high above his head and turned toward the brick wall of the store. I twisted and slashed, but all my claws caught was air. Dead or not, I didn't think that wall would do me any good if Lester smashed me against it. He drew his arm back like a pitcher about to deliver a fastball. Then Sammy was in front of Lester, his arm extended, his hand gripping a big switchblade knife. The blade flashed open with a snicking sound. He tiptoed and held it against Lester's neck.
Let the cat down easy, or you're going to have a nice permanent hole from one side of your nasty neck to the other.
Lester grabbed Sammy's wrist with his other hand and wrenched the knife away from his neck. The knife fell and clattered on the sidewalk. Then Lester wrapped his fingers around the little guy's neck and lifted him off the ground. You do not cross, Lestat, vermin. Meg jumped for me, but Lester laughed, swung the arm that held me, and caught her in the head with his elbow, knocking her against Sammy's Volkswagen. He looked at me, and then at Sammy, who still dangled by his neck, although he was in no danger of choking to death. Which will it be? You first, Samuel, with a broken neck that will never heal? He glared at me. Or you, unnatural animal, with every bone smashed? He showed his fangs. I like the sound of that. George shuffled around in front of Lester. Liz, could you take this somewhere else? He looked left and right, worry all over his fat face. Night jobs ain't easy to get these days, and I can't afford no trouble. I was dealing with having my bones smashed, and George was worried about his crummy job. If I'd ever had any respect for him, I'd have lost it right then. But I didn't even have that satisfaction. Lester laughed, then said, Move aside, numbnuts, unless you want a faceful of cat. George nodded like a bobblehead dog. Yes, sir. Right. Got it. He stepped to the side. Could you make it quick, then? Maybe nobody'll see. I hoped there was a special place in hell for George, if he ever got there. I saw Meg crawling toward the switchblade Sammy had dropped. I figured it would be a good idea to distract the vampire, Lester. Luckily, I'd worked up a good hairball before joining the undead. I activated the process for barfing it up, which included sucking in some air. I hacked a couple of times, and then hurled the mess straight at Lester's face. Caught him right between the eyes. Woohoo! He flung little Sammy into George, and they went down in a tangle. Lester screamed into my face, Abominable creature! Then his voice got silky, which, along with the fangs and the sinister smile that appeared, turned my woo-hoo into an uh-oh. First, I will break all of your legs into many pieces so you can't move. Then I will run over you with my hearse so your body is little more than a bag of ruptured organs and bone splinters. Oh, the pain, the horror. He said, it's unfortunate that you won't feel any pain. Oh, yeah, dead. Still, there was the horror. But then morning will come, and sunshine will hit your flattened carcass. I wish I could see what's left of you writhe when the pain of the undead hits. He paused. Maybe I could steal a camcorder and tape you. It would be fun to replay over and over. The song is Dire Wolf from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.